You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now.
Dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, zips.
Welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 120 for November 1st, 2005. I'm Strom Carlson.
I'm Black Ratchet.
And I'm Fern.
We have... Yeah, Troops is here tonight. and Fizone, who's missing right now, but we don't know where he went.
Hopefully he'll be here soon. We apologize for the bizarre technical problems that we had just now. There was a problem with the switch from daylight time to standard time with the hack radio
for those of you, yeah, for those of you who are curious how this actually works in the background, when we're streaming live, we have the... basically 1 minute to connect to the stream before it actually figures, oh, something's wrong, I better start playing something else. So what it was is we finally decided to check the stream to make sure everything was okay with the server, and we noticed that last week's episode was playing. And we're looking at it, and we're going, that's odd, that's really weird. And we look at it, and we look at the server time and say, oh, my, it thinks it's 10 p.m., or 10:30 in this case. So I had to desperately call Stank Dog and almost woke him up. He was going right to bed, and he said, oh, man, I heard the phone ring, so I had to answer it. So, and he ran and had to manually kick off the stream and reset the server time. So this is the glory of live radio right here.
Oh, yeah. What's amusing, actually, is we were streaming the episode from last week, and War in the IRC channel kept complaining, I keep getting jumped in the hold queue. I'm in the hold queue. I've been here for half an hour now, and other people keep coming on. I'm like, you're listening to last week's episode.
War, you silly fool.
Yes, yes.
We love you, War.
Yeah. But now we are actually live. We are actually live for November 1st, yeah. So get your dialing fingers ready because we've got the call-in line ready at 800-732-0442 if you are calling from the United States. Or if you're calling from outside the United States, you can call us at area code 213-415-1047.
Country code 1.
Yeah, country code 1. Double-check your dialing instructions from whatever country you happen to be dialing from.
So, yes, we're actually, the reason why we're live again, I was planning to have a pre-taped episode, but thanks to Halloween, and I completely forgot that was Monday, and I had Halloween-related stuff to do, so we just decided to go live, and Strom was happy, and...
Yeah, I like it live.
So it's always good. Live is interesting. I do like this. It provides a very unique feel.
It certainly does.
Yeah, there's a nice little adrenaline rush going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, you can always say, well, we're taping at 9:30, because it's a lot easier to schedule people. Right, Troops?
It certainly is.
That's right.
Oh, with the exception of...
I just realized it's live, so I've got a little stage fright going on.
No, although there's always mistakes. And it looks like Troops are using his Western Electric, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about the mistakes. If you listen to last week's episode, we made, screw up after screw up after screw up. So,
I thought last week's episode sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it sounded pretty damn good. But there are, well, we think we make mistakes, but of course, the listener, it doesn't sound like a mistake.
Oh, I'll take your word for that. But I thought we did okay.
Yeah, I think we did pretty good considering the circumstances.
Yeah, I didn't notice any major horrible mistakes. But anyway, Shall we go into email?
Yeah, let's do some email here. Our first email is not from anybody in particular. It says...
Yes, it's from an anonymous person.
Anonymous email. It says, okay, just in case you didn't know, there are two types of Tesla coils. One is a spark gap type, which provide the large arcs and are very dangerous to touch them. The second type is vacuum tube. That you can touch, and the arcs and light burn out bulbs and fluorescent lights. Awesome effects with steel wool. Also very feasible to be indoors. My dad built his first when he was 13 and hand-coiled and all built by him. There is one crazy dude that paints space scenes with the spark gap Tesla coils. That is probably what was in the hotel room at Freaknik.
Well, see, would it be the spark gap one? Because I think that would be definitely a fire hazard, but I would assume that the other one that wasn't a horrible thing. Of course, it is kind of less impressive, I guess. And technically, previous to this, I didn't know there were two types of Tesla coils. The only coils that I saw were the giant spark gaps one with the electricity strands of death there. And I've seen the spark gap thing can like actually do all kinds of crazy stuff with fluorescent lights, and that was actually one of the demonstrations they did at the Boston Museum of Science. You carried around at one of the shows, you can carry around a fluorescent light, and what they suggested is basically every kid have one in America, and they put Tesla coils everywhere, and you have portable streetlights with you at all times.
Sweet.
Yeah, too bad they sound absolutely horrific. It's sort of like if you've never heard a spark gap, it's I don't know how to explain it. It's very loud and very noisy. It's sort of like that sound if you're ever listening to AM radio and someone starts a blender near you. It's just that nice little 60 hertz harmonic going on there.
Oh yeah, yeah, that thing.
But anyway, who knows? Who cares? I still want one for my front yard. That would really freak out the kids last night.
Can you imagine doing that at a rave with the instead of the glow sticks?
Oh man, God! I'd bet I could sell those.
Probably,
all
yeah.
These stone-ass ravers, yeah. Oh my God! Look at the spark gap, man! Yeah. Dragon, you know, high off their ass on ecstasy. I want to get a bunch of angry emails from ravers now.
Tons. Ravers email radio at binrev.com. Our next email comes from DOSman. He says, "Hi. I was listening to BinRev Radio number 115, and there were a couple topics that I had additional information on. Number one, PGP versus GPG. PGP isn't free for business use. Corporate users are required to license it, and now version 9 of the desktop tools appears to be completely non-free. GPG is completely free for everyone. While PGP does allow downloads of its desktop tool source, you have to agree not to compile it for general use. It's for peer review only. While this is nice to see in a commercial entity, it's not really open source or even free anymore, it looks like. The other item is that GPG users can't legally use the IDEA algorithm, one of PGP's default algorithms, without manually licensing it direct from RSA. They can use others instead. Is that pronounced IDEA or IDEA?
I assume it's IDEA or IDEA. Yeah. It's IDEA. It's all in capitals, but we're going to call it IDEA.
Yeah. Someone in the IRC channel, please correct me. However, there is a module floating around that implements it for GPG, of course. This is fine and dandy for Joe Blow, average GPG user that needs to talk to a PGP user that only uses IDEA. But if you're an admin or a developer for a corporation setting up data transfers to banks and other financial institutions, you'll pretty much have to obtain a commercial license to use PGP instead of freeloading off GPG, or risk getting sued later on. Of course, you could manually license IDEA from RSA, but I've never seen anyone actually go this route. Why go through the awkward process of using a hacked module and licensing it when you can just pay for PGP? The IDEA patent does expire in 2007, though, and he gives a URL. Number two, Doug mentions that East Coast bread tastes better than West Coast bread. I've heard this discussed before, often linked with pizza dough. The conclusion I'd heard was because of the better quality water in the New York area. This makes sense to me. You make your bread with lots of water, and the New York, New Jersey area wins awards for its great-tasting water. I can't immediately find a web resource to document this, but I know I've heard on the radio before that New Jersey had won a state water tasting contest. That's my 3.5 cents on these topics. Dossman.
That URL he gave out, I just tinyurled it. It's tinyurl.com/97 Papa Mike Zulu, BMZ. And the whole idea, or IDEA, or whatever you want to call it, and I absolutely, when I first read that, I found that absolutely hilarious, because if you've ever learned about the history of PGP, Phil Zimmerman, when he set it up, he basically, he wrote his own code, and he used the RSA algorithm, but he never actually licensed it from RSA. And that was a big thing. And you basically, he distributed PGP. Of course, back then it was to the United States only, unquote. And he said that, oh, you know, if you're using this, you really need to license a algorithm from RSA and get all that good stuff, because, you know, that's illegal and you can't do that. Wink, wink. So I find it hilarious that PGP now is basically not just, is basically, it's in the same situation with the whole RSA thing. It's quite a hoot. And I kind of take offense to the whole freeloading off GPG. I mean,
it is free anything. Software, after all, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, it's free software. They're given ways to do whatever you want. And I mean, it'd always be nice to, if you like the software, give a donation to the developers or something, but it's there. Go use it. That's why they're giving it away. And quite frankly, how exactly do you peer review something and not test it against a compiled source? That's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, do they really track it if you compile it? Do they have like a bug in every compiler ever made and saying, you know, if you see the PGP source, call back.
Yes, you comment that out.
You horrible person, you.
Yeah. Of course, what's funny about the whole water thing is I seem to recall something where they found little animals living in the New York water supply, and then there was a
alligators.
No, not alligators. Like little tiny, almost microscopic little. I forget what they were called. They were like little mites or little eight-legged whatever they were. But what was I going to say?
Alligators live in the New York sewers.
Yes, that would be it. That would be it. So I remember there was this whole big controversy over whether the water was now kosher because they had discovered little tiny things in it.
I'm sure they don't drink too much. And I gotta laugh at the entire idea of New Jersey having America's best water. I mean, New Jersey? Come on now.
Crazy talk. Their license plate is a tribute to smog.
Yeah, I know. It's the whole thing. It's the chemical waste capital of the world. Oh, it's basically just the entire thing is just paved. It's all chemical plants on the side. I've seen the opening to Sopranos. I know how it is. Actually, no, I did drive through New Jersey once, and I drove down the New Jersey Turnpike, and that's all I saw was just like chemical plants. And I did see Giant Stadium, I believe, if I remember correctly, or Jet Stadium, whatever it was down in Rutherford. It was creepy. It was just all like industrial complexes. And amusing side note, kind of off topic, actually, one of my professors in college, he to the lowest grade in the class out of every test, he gave them the New Jersey Turnpike Award, and he would clip a New Jersey Turnpike receipt to your test.
That's hilarious.
Yes, he had a thing against New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. He used to call it the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut continuum.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so it was amusing. And plus, I gotta say, out of all the water, all I know is that my town in Massachusetts has the best water, taste-wise. I do know that. We have won awards for it, and we actually pride ourselves on it. It's the only thing that we do right in Lynn.
The Los Angeles Municipal Water Supply isn't that bad, but it could be better.
Yeah, water's brown. It's okay.
It's crazy. How's water down in Alabama?
In Mississippi, it's pretty brown.
Mississippi, sorry. And, you stubborn boys.
And I'm from Louisiana originally, and you know about the New Orleans water supply.
It's all silt now, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Something
I'm sure
like
it's
that.
Not too good now.
It wasn't very good to begin with.
I do seem to recall I stayed at a hotel in, like, Azusa one time, and we turned on the tap, and the water did come out brown. That was,
ew.
Yeah, that.
No, I used to have to drink the water in Providence, and the Providence water was just absolutely disgusting. Like I never understood why certain people were saying, "Oh, you know, don't drink the tap water around here." I was like, and then I actually found it, and it was like, Ooh.
You'd have better luck in Tijuana.
I know. It was up there. I mean, I couldn't even wash my hands. My hands would smell afterwards.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was bad.
That's no good.
So. Do you want to get on tour now? We have a first tonight. We actually have
a voicemail.
The first BinRev voicemail.
Yeah, let me see if I remember how to pull this
one. We should get a voicemail theme.
Yeah, we should.
Da-na-na, da-na, da-na-na, na.
Yeah.
BinRev voicemail.
I think this is it.
Hey guys, this is J-Mac from Detroit again. I'm a software engineer. I'm in a telecom, a small telecom out of Detroit, and we're dealing with a great deal of fraud. The people that we're dealing with are spoofing phone numbers, but they're doing it on a grand scale. I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars worth of telecom fraud here. I mean, they're purchasing on fraudulent credit cards, and they're using our service, and basically we're getting stuck for the fees. But my question is, how possibly is somebody, you know, mass spoofing phone numbers and getting away with this? I mean, I believe the way I look at it, when I look at the places that they're calling, and it's such a fast rate that they're just calling, like, you know, all over the world, the UK, India, you know, the Netherlands, just like places that are of no relation. You know, most of our customers, you know, they call one general area. They're calling family and friends back home. But these guys are just, it's so sporadic. So it makes me think that they are reselling our service and somehow, you know, hopping from telecom to telecom. But it's weird because they send us one Annie. Our service does validate by Annie. If you're not calling from the Annie you set up on our service, then you can't use it. So they're like, I'm just trying to understand what possible things are people doing out there to where they would need to place so many calls so quickly and so much to the point where they're spending thousands of dollars a day. It just seems mind-boggling to me that anybody would need that much service. And I mean, obviously they have to be reselling it somehow. I just can't imagine what they could be using all these telecom minutes for. You know, over regular analog phone lines. We're not using VoIP or anything like that. So if you could let me know, you know, what do hackers do out there that, you know, that warrants this type of activity and behavior in the system? I mean, I just don't understand why they're doing this. If I can get a better grip on this, maybe I can, you know, take further measures to find out how to prevent it and how to look at their call patterns to bust them. So if you could let me know, I'd really appreciate it. You can email me at gmail.com, or if you want to talk about it on the show, I'd really appreciate to hear your responses. Thanks for your time, guys. Great show.
So
the FBI may have a place for you.
I'm sorry, I just had to do that.
I find
if you don't let me interject for a second.
Go ahead.
I just saw Jason Scott's BBS documentary, and I know what they're doing. They're using BBSs.
it could be, we don't know. Well, I have a theory on this. I'm not sure if Strom does, but first off, I mean, he said hackers and everything, and as always, we're going to take offense to that. Hackers don't do this, and also freaks don't do this. We're just into harmless explanation of the phone system and or the computer system. We're not into toll fraud. We're not into owning your box. We're not into phishing. People who do this aren't hackers, and I dare say that they're not crackers either. They're just evil scum of the earth, and they deserve to be strung up on the nearest tree or something. So you know, if you're a caller, I didn't say who he was. So, person who called in, don't say hackers are doing this. And at the same point, people in the audience, don't give hackers a bad name by doing this. Thank you. Of course, I don't think anyone in our audience would actually do this. I hope. And if you're not, shame on you. Stop doing it. So, what I'm going to suggest is I'd be curious as to the telecom providers they're calling. If for example, if they're calling a certain telecommunications provider in India, China, or whatever he said it was, see if you can't ban them from calling your service. because what it is a lot of stuff is kickback related. Now, what a kickback is, you know, say for example, I hacksword your service. Not that I would do that, but you're running a calling card, and I hacksword your service, and I made it so that it looked like your company or your calling card was actually being used to call in, you know, some telecom providing in Antigua or some third world country or something. Now, what that company would do is I would have a previously arranged agreement with them saying that I would drive traffic toward their telephone system, and they could charge exorbitant rates to do that. So the company that I owned would get paid, would get billed, and, like, you know, two-minute call, $300. And at the same point, they would have to pay the company that I called because, well, even though they are owned, that other company wants to get paid. And so the company that's in Antigua would then send me a check saying, you know, basically they'd send me a percentage of the profits. So it's a very interesting system. And if you ever hear those stories about those people who are, you know, they download the free caller off the Internet to get into those hot XXX sites, and they call, like, you know, some phone number in southern Czechoslovakia. This is a lot of what that is. The company that makes the dialer gets a kickback from the telephone company that is handling the call. So basically what I would do is I'd go through the logs and, you know, see if the phone companies that handles the numbers are at least semi-reputable, and if not, just ban their ass. And, I mean, also, you were saying that a lot of people are just calling their, you know, their friends and family down the street or, you know, certain areas, or if it's just really just U.S. 48 calling, just stop international calling. If 90% of your calling is local or local toll or U.S. 48, approve people for international dialing on a case-by-case basis, maybe. I mean, it'd be some work, and you might get some people ticked off, but if you're losing thousands of dollars to this fraud, just, you know, bite the bullet and do it, and say, if you want to dial international, please call this number and get previous approval. Well, you know, Lord knows, good luck, whatever. Do you have a theory on this, Strom, or a solution? Strom? I love live radio. So what it is Strom, did you come back? I guess I'm the only person left.
They're all gone. I'm here, man.
I'm all alone.
I'm grabbing the next call off the queue. I'm seeing who it is.
Oh, okay. Well, what was your solution to this guy? Or what was your suggestion, as it were? I love live radio. So, Droops, yeah. Do you have a suggestion to this guy?
I'm going with you, buddy.
Yes. I actually, if Fizone's on the conf now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Hi, Fizone. How you doing?
Doing great. When in doubt, blame the PLA.
Exactly. Blame Redbox Chili Pepper over there, RBCP. He's always at fault. Those damn crazy phone freaks over there. They're sort of proto-phone freaks, prank calling, as it were.
Yeah, there was nobody serious on the queue. There was someone who thought they were waiting for a conference call or something.
So, Strom, what was your suggestion for this whole thousands of dollars in international toll fraud?
Oh, yeah, my suggestion was, you know, if you're doing thousands of dollars a day from a single number, obviously there's something wrong with your tandem where you're not restricting the number of simultaneous calls that the caller can make. And if you're restricting by Annie, I mean, that makes sense, but if you've got 100 calls up from the same Annie, obviously they're abusing the service. So limit it to, like, two, maybe three calls at the same time, and I'm sure you'll see your problems diminish immensely.
Yes, it's always interesting. The lovely world of toll fraud.
Yeah,
you're all
yeah.
stupid for doing this. It's, you know, anyone who does it is just... You deserve what's... If you get caught, you deserve what's coming for you. Unless you're doing it in a completely innocent manner, but highly doubtful. So, that was our first ever voicemail. Isn't that... It was a touching moment. We had our first ever live caller last week.
Mm-hmm.
This is our first ever voicemail this week. It's amazing.
What will we have next week? The first ever on-air Twinkie eating or something.
Yeah, you're kind of obsessed with Twinkies because you just bought them.
Yeah, I bought Twinkies for the first time in like 5 years this evening, so...
Shame on you. So,
Yeah,
show and tell.
Yeah, okay. By the way, call-in lines are open. Again, if you forgot the number, it's if you're within the U.S., get out your pencil. 800-732-0442. Or, if you're calling from outside the U.S., area code 213-739. No, I'm sorry, that's not it. That's the wrong number. It's area code 213-415-1047.
Can't even get the phone number right. You call yourself a freak.
Well, I somehow went into the pattern of repeating the phone number from my old office.
So if you want to call Ticketmaster...
Yeah, if you want to call Ticketmaster, 213-739-something or other. But, yeah. Oh, so yeah, call those numbers if you
call those numbers and you'll be on the air.
Yeah, there's no one in the queue right now.
Our main topic tonight, just so everyone can get prepped, is we're going to talk about Freak Nick and... Oh, it's Droops and Fizone. You're just going to wrap it up and tell us what the hell happened over there. And someone wants to get on and tell them about their Freaknik experience. We had a couple people on from last week, but if you haven't get on last week, just come on this week and just chit-chat away.
Mm-hmm. We haven't done our personal hacking stories yet.
Yeah, I was about to say, show and tell. What have you been doing, Strom?
What have I been doing? I've been playing around with, Solaris and a Weiss 150 terminal, and all sorts of random but not terribly consequential stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I moved my desk. That was a fun adventure in computer something or other.
Where did you move it to? Your porch?
No, I moved it to the other side of my living room.
Ooh. Interior design with Strom Carlson.
Yes. Binrev's gayest moment ever.
Indeed. Is it closer to the payphone now?
No, actually, it's further from the payphone.
Shame on you. Droops, what have you been doing?
Well, man, I've been doing a lot of shit.
Yes, you have.
Lots of shit. Actually, I have a confession to make. I actually used Windows ME today.
Ew.
And I learned the trick with Windows ME on an older box. If you change the swap file so Windows isn't regulating it, it's like a whole new experience, and I actually appreciated Windows ME today.
You appreciated Windows ME because you can control the swap file size by yourself?
No, I appreciated that it didn't crash on me one time. Not one time did it crash. I was very impressed. I've never had that opportunity to experience that before. I've also been doing things that are actually kind of cool, other than that confession. We're working on Twat Radio, and we're taking the month of November off so that we can regroup a little bit, because we kind of sprung into it half-assed, and weren't really planning on every day having to upload a show and getting people to upload a show because they didn't do it and they're just all off the face of the earth. So we're getting a bunch of backup episodes, and we've got a new admin over at the site, Mr. Pacholo, and he's going to help me make sure it's updated every day. And good stuff like that, and I've had a bunch of people submit things, like today, and they're like, oh no, we have to have plot, what are we going to do? So, that's really, really cool.
Well, because Twat is cool. Twat's always cool. What's the website? Might as well just sort of toss it out there.
Oh, it's twatech.org.
So, TWA, Tango Whiskey Alpha, TECH.org. And so with these new people submitting stuff, do you foresee yourself actually being on in November now?
No, we're going to wait till December, I believe, just so we have a whole plethora of backup episodes.
Okay, so...
And we're trying
basically
to get more hosts for it. The more hosts we have, the less work we all do.
And how would one become a host?
Pretty much email me and say, hey, I want to do a twat, and they'll send you all the information.
It's droops at...
gmail.com, easy.
droops@gmail.com.
And
also, in case Koresh is listening, Koresh, email droops@gmail.com. Or actually, no, I think you need to call Droops right now. Just not right now.
After
the show.
Right now, during the show. Make his phone ring.
Ring.
It won't ring. I don't have two lines or anything.
What magazine subscription did you get your phone on?
What magazine subscription did I get in my phone? Actually, I have a very old Nokia. It's a very but I haven't changed because I like it.
Yes, you can tell. It's apparently down in Mississippi there, they use the old phones that are still in the wall, so that's why Droop sounds like he does.
The quality of his telephone is degrading every minute.
Yeah, he has to pay extra for that, actually. Let's see, what else is going on with Droops? We're working on Infinomicon TV, which is a really cool thing that we do, because we put out a lot more episodes than that, like, BinRev hack TV show thing. I don't know what's going on with that.
They're lame over there, aren't they?
Something about hurricanes, I don't know. If I was a smart man, I wouldn't put like my critical infrastructure where like a hurricane would wipe it out every summer. And I think after the first summer I'd learn, but I'm not saying anything, guys. Don't take offense.
you're basically pissing off all of southern Florida right now.
Hey, whatever.
You,
I mean,
you should talk. Where exactly do you live?
I live in North Mississippi on top of the hill.
Oh, on top of the hill. Okay. Yeah, didn't you certainly have a certain hurricane that started with a K? Kind of was in the news a bit. I forget what they called it. Karen.
I don't know about those people.
Yeah. Well, see, you lucked out because a lot of other people didn't.
Actually, I'm talking like a son of a bitch, but the day after Katrina hit, I used all the money that I had and bought gasoline and drove down there and gave it away to people. Because I'm not just a big mouth that talks mean about people, I actually try to help too.
I'm an idiot. but just think of how many people you helped out and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you were
like
you were an amazing person. So, Fizone, since you've been absolutely dead quiet, what have you been doing?
Actually, this week I've been trying to write an article about reading codes out of off of physical keys, trying to figure out the cuts by the stamp on the key, that kind of thing. So I'm writing up an article.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I can submit that to one of the magazines and hopefully do a little video about it, too.
So those little letters and numbers on my keys, that's what the hell those mean?
Yeah, it tells you what the cuts are from the shaft of the key to the tip.
Hmm.
It tells you exactly the depth to cut.
I must say I was very unaware of that. I just thought it was some type of identifying mark.
Yeah, it'll tell you exactly how to cut the key, depending on the type of key, whether it's quick set or whatever. So you can either do that or you can trace it with a pencil. It's the old trick. And there's a couple more that I'm going to turn out, I hope. But other than that, just teaching Unix class, and that's about the depth of my week.
So you're teaching a class on how to be a eunuch?
Yes, exactly.
I don't want to take that class myself.
Yeah, it doesn't take much balls.
Very nicely played. So, yes. Yeah, I don't think I told you what I was doing. Basically, theory told me yesterday that Bell's Mind is doing an overhaul. So I basically get to sit down, and I took this time that, because technically Yapple by Phone won't be working because Bell's Mind will be down and working and not working later. So I'm basically taking this time to overhaul my code and do everything right, and I'm hopefully going to have a new and improved yet another payphone list. Or, well, at least new. Lord knows it won't be improved because, goddammit, the website sucks. But here's hoping. So, yes, that's what I've been doing this week. I basically decided to take everything down, and I moved it over to a new server today, and I think it's working now, but Lord only knows.
And you've got a .NET client interface now, right?
Oh, yeah, I got my .NET client. Technically, I just decided to show that off, but in reality, I hadn't touched it in forever.
We do have a live call-in.
Who do we have?
We have Luminaire from Toronto, I think.
Huh.
Should I bring him in?
Sure.
All right. Let's bring him in here.
Hello, Luminaire.
Hey, Luminaire. How you doing?
What's going on?
Not too much. Welcome to VinRev Radio.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say that I was talking to a couple people in IRC, and there seems to be a couple more of us from Toronto than I thought. The current state of our 2600 group is interesting, to say the least. So anyone from Toronto or in the general Toronto area, feel free to email me at salvea@gmail.com. That's S-A-L-V-E-Y-A @gmail.com. And Ratchet, I'll let you do the phonetic alphabet on that.
I really don't care, because I really wasn't paying attention to how it's spelled.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll toss it up in the IRC later.
This is for people in the Toronto area who wants to do the whole 2600 or anything?
Well, anyone who doesn't want to go to the 2600 or just wants to meet up, sort of like a...
Ah.
I want to see the numbers.
An anti-2600, if you will.
Pardon?
An anti-2600, if you will.
I want to find out what kind of numbers I have before calling it a BINREV meeting, basically.
Dude, just call it a BINREV meeting. BINREV 508, no, 508, 978, whatever the one that was in Framingham had one person show up to it, so...
Oh, man, that shit's not going to fly.
Well, seriously, I mean, he's still a BINREV meeting. He's out there. He's waiting for people to show up, so... It's still a meeting if one person shows up. It's just not else. So be proud. Call yourself a BINREV meeting.
Okay, well...
BINREV pride, biatch.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. my other question, if I may.
Ask away.
You mentioned C-sharp and iFolder on the twat that you ran. You actually play around with the code of iFolder? Or?
iFolder? I never actually mentioned iFolder. I just talked about C-sharp.
Novell's iFolder project.
Yes. Well, the Novell's iFolder project, I haven't actually played around with it, but there is a C-sharp implementation of it.
It's actually all C-sharp and mono.
Yes,
and,
it is.
Right now it's only peer-to-peer, and the the actual server-based one looked a lot cooler, but it's not. If it is working, it's barely working.
Well, that's what code is. It's always barely working.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I haven't actually played with it, and I don't have... I actually didn't notice the server code, which was really scary because I'm kind of disappointed myself that I didn't notice that. But I kind of looked at it and said, wow, that's really cool that they're implementing it. But at the same point, I said, well, geez, I don't have a Novell server, so I'm just kind of hosed.
No, man, it runs on everything. It's all peer-to-peer, so you can run it on Linux and share between Mac and Windows. You don't need an actual Novell server.
So I was just a noob then.
I wouldn't say that. But no, that was my motivation to pick up Mono and C Sharp to try and take a look at that. But since you already know it...
Well, I got taken down a notch. I tried to write an implementation of Acidus's Tiny Disk in C Sharp, and really, I failed miserably. I don't know how it worked, but... Oh boy, it didn't work. It couldn't decode it, and the whole encryption thing just failed miserably. And it's sitting in the remnants of my home directory.
I wouldn't even want to try and match up any of my cleverness against that guy's ideas.
Well, it's cool. I got it to submit and pull out disks and, like, you know, the clusters and everything. I just never actually decode it. It was a brilliant idea, and I got it partially working. I just never actually got it working into something useful. So,
all right,
Acidus, you owned me.
All right, I think we should move on to our topic, and then we'll take more calls if they come in during the topic, and then towards the end of the show, we'll take some more calls.
All right, you guys.
Do you want to toss a number out again?
Yeah, if you're
all right. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling, Luminaire.
All right, later.
Later, man.
Later, man.
All right, so the number, if you're calling from inside the United States, is 800-732-0442. And if you're calling from outside the United States, dial country code 1-213-415-1047.
All right, so our main topic tonight, as we previously stated, is Freaknik. So we'll just toss the general question right on out there. So guys, you both went. How was Freaknik?
You go first, Bizon.
Okie doke. I had a ball there. It was my first con, and there were about three or four of the talks that I really liked. Most of them were pretty good, but I drank a lot of beer, so I don't remember a lot of them. But there were about three or four that were great. Of course, Astus, his talk was on Layer 7 Fun was good. There was a guy named Ethan McCarter, I believe was his name, did a talk about using your internal cable system to transmit your own channels across the cable. It was called Dr. Cable Love, and that was pretty good. And other than that, the I don't know if you've heard about Decode's outbound content compliance talk.
No, I can't say that I have.
It was really good. It opened a lot of people's eyes, I think, to what was going out of their networks. He was really talking about, you know, are you going to know if your employees are sending out, you know, XLS spreadsheets with company database, you know, company information in them, those kind of things. And they apparently have products, they're first and second generation products that are looking for that kind of thing and logging them. I think a lot of people were real interested in that, so I think that's coming up on the horizon most likely. We'll be hearing a lot about that. Other than that, the Web Security 101 was not too bad. I'm a noob on that, you know, on coding web security. Maxi Z did that presentation, and it was pretty interesting. I was kind of disappointed that they talked about how to prevent like passing or people grabbing like MD5s off the network and reversing them. But they didn't talk about things like that Yahoo does with like passing you a token and taking your MD5 password and encrypting that with it and then passing the whole thing back and comparing it. So I was kind of disappointed they didn't get into that kind of level, but overall it was a pretty good talk. Other than that, Droop's probably had a better overall feel for it. I spent a lot of time just in the room hacking.
What were you doing, owning DOG networks and stuff?
No, we were just playing. We worked on a couple of PAT2s and just playing around. Another guy was there with, as soon as he heard Acidus talk, had to go back to the room and start pulling stuff out of Google, Images and doing Layer 7 stuff there.
Hmm. Yeah, Acidus' talk was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually, well, of course, I wasn't there, so I couldn't actually watch it, but at the same point, I did download his presentation, and just some of the crazy shit that he just thought of was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool enough that I wanted to say, hey, let's go write my own implementation of this so I can do it in C#, and oh, what a starry-eyed delirium I had. Failed miserably.
Yeah.
So, Droop, since I guess you were sober and got out of your room more, I guess, what did you think?
let's see. For everyone that's wondering how they can experience Breaknoop without actually going, they're one of the few cons that actually puts all the video that they took, even a lot of extra stuff, up on their website so that you can go watch it even if you didn't go to the con. And I think their website's breaknoop.info. Which is really, really cool. Let's see. I got really drunk like a 15-year-old kid the first night. So I don't really know what happened then, but supposedly I tried to have sex with Jason Scott's ear. Not real sure on that. The rest of the time I was actually pretty knowledgeable because I sobered up finally. And I got to meet a lot of very, very cool people. I got to see Dr. Zygmunt again. Got to meet Iron Geek. Saw Dossman again from the Packet Sniffers. Low-Tech Mystic. I'm going to miss like a shitload of people because I've met a lot of people. Met Tabiz and his beautiful girlfriend. Who won Miss Freaknik to everyone's delight. Let's see. Oh, a bunch of other people I saw.
Congratulations for her.
Hey, congratulations to Freakners. Let's see. Did we do any hacking? I didn't even bring a computer. Because I'm just a big noob, and I like meeting people and talking to people. One of the really cool things about Freaknik is, like, I've been to several cons now, and all the people that run it are just hanging out, chilling. And they're, of course, doing their business of making sure the con goes well, but you can go up to them and talk to them. And if they have a free moment, you know, they're thrown in on the conversation, they're doing some drinking with you. And it's really cool in the openness of the con. Like, everyone is friends. There's not big enough for, this guy, I don't know who he is. He doesn't look like he fits in with me. Everyone just kind of hangs out and has a really good time. And I really enjoy the closeness of the convention.
Well,
I don't know. Do I need to keep talking?
I don't know. Did you have any good like presentations you went to?
Yeah, I went to some presentations, but I did a little drinking, and Fizz only hit on the ones I didn't go to, and just everyone go watch them because my opinion doesn't matter.
Basically, you couldn't remember any presentations because you were just too damn drunk.
Don't really know.
Well, my question for you guys is actually, you know, Freaknik does have freak in the name. Is it a more freak-oriented convention than, say, DEF CON or one of the others?
It's more of a just let's all hang out and have a convention. It's not really freak-oriented or hacker-oriented. It's just kind of the general mindset kind of oriented.
So there is no freaking going on at the convention. There's no tons of guys that are just have tons of blue boxes and are wiring up the CO to do crazy things. And
well, there was some malicious freaking last year.
Yeah, we won't get into that.
I can just imagine a whole, like, a bank of maybe 20 payphones, and every single one has somebody doing something malicious to the telephone set.
Well, not even something malicious. I can just picture if it was a FreakerCon, just, like, have a bank of 20 payphones, and actually have to have them wait in line for a payphone, which just hasn't happened in forever.
Yeah, retro-tacular.
Yeah.
Well, Bell South threw away all their payphones, so there's not a lot in the area. Hotel has those little telephone cubicles built into the hallway, and they're just like a little empty spot.
Oh, that's so nice.
They should put co-cots in there.
Screw that.
Well,
We should start our own telephone company.
Yeah, we should. We can be our own telephone company with asterisk.
With asterisk.
And we had a little BinRev meetup with a bunch of people.
Oh,
and including people that aren't even BinRev people, like Froggy, the guy that runs Nauticon, went to it, and we went and ate tacos and had a really good time there.
Tacos. Almost as fun as the DEF CON BinRev sushi outing, I think.
Yes. Sushi feels
well, the food wasn't as good as that, but the conversation was very nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, Ratchet, didn't you and I go and have, like, a mini taco outing at some point during DEF CON?
Oh, yeah, like, right after our presentation, I think.
Yeah, I think we went out. We went to, I forget the name of the tacos
or something.
Yeah, it's some little hole-in-the-wall taco shop next to UNLV, and we had the greasiest, most delicious burritos in the history of the universe.
Yes, I had a taco and an enchilada, and I gotta say, it was damn tasty. I guess that's what happens when you go into the Southwest. You actually meet people who know what Mexican food tastes like.
Well, they don't have Mexican food in Boston.
We do, but I didn't think it was that good. Yeah, I gotta say that's up there with one of the that's one of the better Mexican food. And plus, just like it was just the entire atmosphere was great.
At the restaurant?
Yes. Just it was good. Besides those annoying kids, college kids that came by and was chatting on their cell phones.
What were they talking about? They were talking about some totally vapid nonsense like television or something.
Yeah, I think so. And we were just ignoring it, so.
They were talking about their phones, too. I think I kept suggesting that we should go over and offer to hack their telephones.
Well, someone over there had a sidekick, and it just really pissed me off because they had a sidekick too, and I just had a sidekick one, and it made me feel less of a man.
Oh, Ratchet, you're no less of a man in my eyes.
No. Anyway,
radio,
tacos and phones.
Yes.
So
do you guys have any fun stories from Freaknik? Anything cool that happened?
Well, we learned that Iron Geek is a very hardcore kind of guy. When he sits down at a computer, and he's in control, and he's very bent on what he's doing. And when he drinks, he's the same way. Like, the man has the Iron Geek special, not sure what it's called, but he takes a little bit of sweet and sour and then a lot of Everclear and just drinks it real fast. And that's always fun.
Good stuff.
That's good stuff right there. Dr. Zygmunt actually did a quote. I don't know if he's going to use it in his video or if I'm using it, but he showed us how he can breathe fire inside the hotel room and catch the room on fire.
That's always a plus. I always think that's a very marketable skill.
Yeah. I guess if you want to take a bartender job, that might be important.
I keep finding myself wondering if you've got a better phone, Droops.
What's that?
I keep wondering if you have a better telephone set somewhere.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Dr.
Yeah, I can just picture Dr. Zygmunt like doing like Roadhouse or something. Dude, we can have like a Roadhouse on BinRev TV or Hack TV. We can have like Dr. Zygmunt as Patrick Swayze, dressed up in a black
shirt. They also got a wall of shame for all the people that were using Certex passwords and the like. And I think Fizzone found out where it was. It was kind of hidden.
Yeah, it was on the, I think Aaron Geek said it was on the gateway.
Okay.
Dr.
Which is pretty clever. You had to be looking to find it.
Yeah, basically. Dr. Zygmunt in the Dance Dance Revolution contest was pretty funny. I got a kick.
Oh, out. Yeah!
Oh, God, there was a DDR contest?
A drunken DDR contest
is at least acceptable, because then your coordination is impaired and really levels the playing field, or totally warps it, depending on what you believe alcohol will do to you. But
yeah, if
you had to have
a DDR contest or a DDDR contest,
direct distance dialing revolution. What? We had a direct distance dialing revolution contest. I think Ratchet's phone, isn't it?
Not mine, buddy.
Yes, the wonders of live radio. Phones go off and
one knows. Always fun. Would you go to Dakota on here and just call this default radio?
Yeah.
Which may or may not be coming back.
Yes. Apparently, on November 11th, which is 1111, default radio is doing something. There's lots of mysteriosity. The rumors are flying that Default Radio is coming back. So if you are all interested, defaultradio.com.
Yeah, well, we're assuming it's November 11th. That just says the password is 1111, so Lord only knows what's happening.
No, I heard something along the lines of November 11th, and I saw a countdown that said 10 days today, so I assume that means November 11th.
That's what people are thinking right now.
Yeah.
So, anyway, guys, my personal question is, okay, with Hope, you're in New York. There's New York. You can do all kinds of crazy stuff in New York. With DEF CON, you're in the middle of Las Vegas. There's all kinds of crazy stuff to do in Las Vegas. What in God's name is there to do in Nashville? Watch the trains go by?
Well, there's the Grand Ole Opry, which I don't think anyone at the convention attended.
The Opry.
There's prostitutes walking on the street out in front of the hotel, which is always a benefit, I guess. There's lots of hanging out and talking to your friends, and there's beautiful southern women at the bars at night. It's a good time. It's a good drinking town.
So those are the three things to look forward to in Nashville.
And it's convenient for a lot of us. We can just drive there and it's easy.
I bet that you can, within a mile of Freaknik, buy Twinkies. That sounds exciting.
I bet you can buy a lot of other things within a mile of Freaknik.
Yeah. If the prostitutes are walking in front of the building, I think you can buy a lot of other things. would you recommend that, basically, if you're not over 21, don't go to Freaknik?
Well, actually, probably about him. He doesn't drink, but he's not over 21. He had a really good time. You don't have to be drunk. If you just like hanging out with like-minded people and not have something important to do, Vegas, there was a lot of, you have to meet here at this time, and we'll meet up with this guy, and we'll give you this exciting thing. And it kind of draws you away from the con, and you're up on top of that big tower riding the roller coasters or whatever. And Freaknik, it's more just hanging out as a big group and meeting a lot of people.
Well, true. That's always true because, you know, that's as we said before back in the day on, like, episode, 106, That's what conventions are for meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
And I
like
DEFCON when I... Mm-hmm. Now, when I came home from DEFCON, I needed a vacation. It was so busy. And 3 week was a vacation. It was a good time.
Yeah.
And the plus is it's cheap enough that if you miss the talks, you're not out that much money.
Mm-hmm.
How expensive is it?
$20.
That's
not bad. That's not bad at all.
Of course, travel expenses tend to factor in, too, so it's not like it only costs you $20, but still, that's pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah. And the first 300 people got a LED flashlight rechargeable by USB or something. So yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
What's actually interesting is apparently at, speaking of conventions and free stuff, at AstroCon, the first, some small number, 50 or 100 people or something, got Ixies from Digium.
Huh.
Well, the Digium guys were there and they gave me one.
Oh, they were at Freaknik?
Yeah, but some of the guys wandering around with Digium backpacks.
Oh, sweet.
You remember from last week, Strom, when the guy said that he got the free Ixie?
Yeah, no, but that wasn't, no, but that was also at AstroCon, not Freaknik.
No, that was
at Freaknik. And AstroCon as well.
Yeah, but the guy at Freaknik said he got a free Ixie, and the guy's from Astro Square there.
Yeah.
The GM in this case.
Yeah. My memory is a smidge slippery, so.
Yeah, apparently.
And it's
we were sitting down there making one of these little sound handsets to plug into your cell phone, and we saw her on and out, all the good stuff. And they wandered up one of what we were doing, and we talked to him for a while.
It was
Strom's not the brightest bulb in the box.
Yeah, I'm kind of dim and burning out and whatnot.
Do we have any callers this evening? Is anyone calling in?
No, no one's called in yet. There's
wow.
The queue is empty. Who wants to call in? How many people are listening to this live? There are.
Previously, we're up to 26. I don't even know what we are.
There were 30 now. 29 of you listening live. So for all of you listening live, the lines are open. You can call us and banter with us because we are kind of desperate for material here. So, again, from within the U.S., it's free, for Christ's sake. Free, free, free. Call in. 800-732-0442. Again, 800-732-0442. Or if you're calling from Canada or outside the United States, call country code 1, area code 213-415-1047.
So, Fizone, you were talking about this this whole monitoring stuff going out of your network. What exactly was this talk about?
Basically, it's a couple of the guy's handle was Decode, and I'm not sure what the product was, but apparently there's several companies that are providing products like this now. And more or less, what they're doing is logging, and I'm not sure that I understand exactly how they're picking what to log and what not to log, but anything that's suspicious gets logged. And he was talking about going into companies and putting product in place, and I think he said it was, I forgot how many people they said that one company had fired just almost immediately because they had broken the pornography rules or whatever in the for the business, and he said most of them had at least 8 years tenure or something like that. So it's not just new people working at these businesses that are doing this, but mainly what they're worried about is people sending out like Excel spreadsheets or somebody working in a call center and selling Social Security numbers and names and that kind of ID theft information. But I'm not sure I really understand exactly how they're picking what to log. But from what he said, they're basically logging anything that goes out with encryption on it.
Hmm. With encryption too.
Yeah. Well, they're logging that it went out with encryption, so that's a suspicion.
Oh.
Yeah, because Lord knows only criminals have encryption.
Yeah. Well, and that's what he said. He said that this is coming. Whether you like it or whether you don't, these businesses are putting it in. And if you'll look at your agreement that you sign when you go to work for a company. Most likely, if they haven't implemented it yet, they'll be implementing it soon, and they're probably already putting information about it into their policies. So whether we like it or not, it's probably coming.
Well, you can be like, I'm drawing a blank on his name, which is really bad. The guy from ISS that quit his job about Cisco and everything happened right before, it happened at Black Hat. And apparently every time they sent him the non-disclosure agreement, he was like, I'm not signing this. So you can always sort of pull that. Oh, and I'm kind of disappointed that I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Mark Lynn.
Shame on me.
Mark Lynn.
That could be right.
We have a caller.
Cisco presentation?
Yes, the Cisco presentation.
Yeah, that was Mark Lynn.
All right, who's our caller?
Our caller is Elazair, and he's got a question about VoIP, I think. Let me.
Okay, we're just going to sort of digress from the Freaknik topic,
yeah.
I guess.
Hello, caller.
Hey, Strom.
Yeah, hello, Elazair.
Yep, I'm there. I just wanted to ask a quick question about VoIP.
Ask away.
Yes, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Hi, this is Elazair. I was just wondering about possible standardizations for VoIP. It seems like a lot of the networks use their own numbering scheme, and I was wondering, wouldn't it be better to just possibly make a DNS record for a VoIP server and kind of handle it like email?
It does sort of do that already. I mean, the whole SIP protocol is all URL-based.
Yeah.
It would be sip:/strom@stromcarlson.com, and it would know that basically I'm trying to contact stromcarlson.com and I'm trying to contact a user called Strom.
Yeah, I think what he's asking about, though, is that, for some sort of universal numbering plan, like one numbering space for all numbers, right?
Well, I think he was more... Were you trying to shoot for that, or are you trying to shoot for... You were talking about how it's like email and everything, so you're looking for more URL-based.
More URL-based would be nice, but it would be kind of nice to have a universal standard like email and SMTP.
Well, the whole kind of standard on it is just... Right now, the quote-unquote standard is session initiation protocol, which is called SIP. And that's what officially is what the standard is, according to the Internet Engineering Task Force thingy, whatever, the IETF.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what everyone's shooting for, and basically that's why everyone you see using SIP, 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 because it's the most official standard. Mm-hmm. So when you... talking about like, EX2 and everything, that's not officially a standard, it's just more of a standard among asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, we all think it's better, so we all use it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about VoIP, the standard right now is SIP and RTP and all that kind of stuff.
Alrighty. I guess what I was just shooting for was if you integrated it with DNS, you say you would have, one numbering scheme for all and...
Yeah.
So instead of having to go through free world dial-up or anything like that, you could just query the DNS record and find the VoIP server and possibly get a host like that.
Yeah.
If you looked at our presentation, we kind of briefly discovered about this. It was the whole enum thing, and what enum is it's a DNS base, but it's all numbering based. So, but the problem is that with the whole we have this wonderful standard over in the North American continent from NANPA,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, someone over in the UK, they dial different numbers. They don't have one NPA NXX XXXX. They have some other such nonsense, which I'm not unfamiliar with because I'm not from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
But also, South America, Asia, they all have different numbering schemes.
Okay.
It always really freaks me out when I'm watching, Portugal or Spanish television, and I see this, telephone number is 1-8209-1738. I'm like, what? That's not a phone number. And I'm sure if they looked at it right now, they'd see something completely different if we showed them an American number.
Yeah.
So with the internet having no borders, it's a plus, but it's also a giant minus, as
mm-hmm.
most federal governments has figured out.
Yes, but it would be nice that to have one service for all, so we wouldn't have to all use free will dial up or something like that.
Well
eventually it'll move to some sort of peer to peer model, and you know, they'll it won't really matter what network you're on. I mean, the problem, as you're describing it, basically is the real problem is that the networks don't have interconnects with each other.
That's it.
Yeah, because, you know, like, for example, if you're, say you have a Sprint mobile phone, you want to call a user who has a singular mobile phone. You know, there are two different networks, but they have interconnect agreements, so they can call each other without a second thought with one numbering plan. So the real problem is that the networks don't have any interconnect agreements with each other, and it's kind of a mess right now. Again, these are the really early days of VoIP. Give it, you know, 10 years, and it'll be completely different.
Yes, I mean, we're basically comparing this right now as to the 1890s with the telephone system, when basically you had your town was wired for telephone, and you could call basically probably within your town, unless you wanted to pay obscene amount of money and go to, like, the local store where they had another service from the other town over, and that's how you would pick up the long-distance phone, like you've ever seen in the old Looney Tunes cartoons. So, I mean, there is interconnects right now, but with the whole different services and different things, it's just most peer-to-peer services or semi-centralized services just don't have interconnects to other people, and they don't really support that within the, or most people who are using it don't understand that you can call other people via a URL system, or there's no centralized numbering scheme. So therein lies the trouble.
Oh, so it is a URL based system. You just have to figure out what their URL is.
Yes.
Right. Righty.
So we're going to heartily refer you to our asterisk demonstration, our asterisk presentation online at blackratchet.org, and it gives a couple of slides on an overview of SIP and also the enum system, which kind of attempts to solve this.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. You've been great. And is Stank Dog ever going to come to any of the going to come to any conferences or anything?
Technically, you'd have to ask him.
Alrighty.
All right. Cool. Thanks for calling, man.
Thank you very much, man.
Later.
Thanks for calling in.
Later.
Bye-bye. All right.
Bye.
Well, that was fun.
Yes. See, I think people are getting ticked off that every time we have a show. I think to complete this off, we need to have a conversation about iPods.
Yeah. But we haven't had a Gentoo talk yet, so it won't be complete until we talk about Gentoo either.
Yes. Do either of you use Gentoo?
No.
Nope.
No. Shucks. We can't go for the trifecta. VoIP, Gentoo, and iPods.
But we do have a call on robots.
We do have a call on robots?
About robots, yeah.
Well, bring them on in. We'll talk about robots.
Okay, just a second. I'll be back.
I'm curious how I can get my own robot that will fetch me beer on command. Because that's every person's dream right there, in my opinion.
Only if it runs Debian.
Only if it runs Debian. Or Gentoo. There we go. We can work a Gentoo reference into the show. Dude, I hear if you compile on Gentoo, it gets, like, so much faster and responds so much quicker with the beer.
It brings you American beer if you don't use Gentoo.
Yeah, exactly. No, you'd have to... Oh, crap, what's that international distribution? Mandrake. Mandrake's French. You can go use that. What's... We need to, like, have, like, a UK distribution if we want British beer. There's no Ireland distribution. I can't get my Guinness.
Actually, the call is... It's an on-topic call. It's about Freaknik.
Okay, bring one in, though. We should have, like, Strom the Engineer. We have, like, the Doug of Bin Rev Radio as Strom. She had, like, a person who's dedicated to screening phone calls.
Yeah, definitely. So we have Micah on the line.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I just had a comment about the Freaknik talk that I'm sorry, I forgot who it was that I was talking about the talk that was going on about the guy that had a product that would watch, like, outgoing Excel files and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who know me know I work for a telecom company. I'm not going to name it for security purposes over the phone here, but...
Diffuniac Telephone?
What's that?
Yeah, we can call it Diffuniac Telephone.
Right. So we actually have something like that similar implemented at my work. I'm a net admin for the local network inside the office, and there were some problems with people emailing them Excel files, basically, just like he was talking about, and, you know, other work-related documents back to themselves at home and, like, posting online and, you know, doing crazy shit with it. So they have this implemented. The way our system is set up, there's a gateway that any of our traffic generated from any of the computers within this network, it passes through this gateway. And it's kind of a layer on top of this gateway. So it first goes through the gateway to verify if the information is legitimate. If it is, it passes it off to the correct place, you know, email, you know, DNS, web traffic, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
If it's web traffic or it's email traffic, it sends it back through to this other layer with this, I can't remember the name of what the product is, but it basically sorts through all of the packet information, and if it pulls out anything relating to, like, an Excel, anything like that, it flags it. It denies the request, and it sends an alert email off to the admin, usually me in that case, with the IP of where this is coming from. When that happens, you know, we got to go and track down where the IP is located at and slap somebody on the wrist. But it's pretty interesting how it works. And
I'd personally slap him upside the head.
Exactly.
What the hell are you doing? Whack!
Right, what are you thinking, man? Put it on a jump drive, you'll be okay. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there because I've actually seen that stuff work. It's pretty cool.
Sweet, well, that sounds awesome, Micah.
Right on. I'm going to drop off, let somebody else get on here and have fun. So.
Okay, cool.
Good stuff, guys. Later.
Okay.
Chad's one, man.
If that's something people are interested in, I would definitely say go to the Freaknik video site and check out Decode's presentation, since you can see the video. And I believe he told the product, but I don't remember exactly what the product was. But there are several others like it.
I don't believe it is up yet.
Oh, that.
I just sort of checked out the website. I didn't see it. But I will be patiently waiting. I'll be interested about that. My workplace has something similar, but it's just very URL based, and it's very convenient that nobody checks it anymore. So, you know, they basically had a jihad for about 2 months, and then they realized that people stopped doing anything, so they stopped checking it, and now people are back to their old ways.
Yeah, I just checked, and that video is up at freaknik.willpig.org.
Oh, so it is there?
Yeah, it's the third video down.
Hmm.
So you can go check that out. It's like 270 meg.
Another call.
Okay.
This is Schwazi. Hello, Schwa.
We need to get up on this whole quickly transferring him in.
Yeah, we do need to. What the heck?
So did we lose our caller? Live radio.
Yeah. There we go. Hello, Schwa.
Hey, what's up, Strom? How are you?
Doing well. How are you, man?
I'm good. Oh, your delay actually isn't that bad on the from telephone to headphones, but I will take them off because it is incredibly annoying. I wanted to call and tell you about the neat day I had today. I was thinking about you when I was at the SBC building.
You were thinking of us? We feel so loved.
Well, you know how it is. When you're, I just got this new job where I'm doing like breaker maintenance and testing for all sorts of different companies, and I have this snazzy little pass that lets me in SBC buildings, and so my boss was giving me a tour today, and I got down, and there's this old room in the basement at Sac Main. I live in Sacramento area. And you go in this room, and it's like everything since the dawn of phones. Like, a Strom would have busted a nut all over the place. I don't know if I can even take him in there. Might not be safe. I wish I had had you with me and you could explain to me exactly what everything that had done. But I don't know. Of course, it made me think of you. I wanted to call in.
Cool. So what was in there? Was there, like, operator boards and whatnot?
Okay, you know that book that we were looking at the other day, back when I used to live at your place, and you were showing me all those like old robotic switch gears?
Yeah. The telephone system book.
There was those physically in there. There was operator switch panels where they would take the cords and connect you physically to another line. A bunch of really neat old books from like 1910, 1920 on telephony. Unfortunately, I didn't get to spend much time in there, but I'm going to have to take you for a tour when you come visit.
I will report. This is in Sacramento.
Yeah, exactly.
So where is this located, and what is this stuff doing there?
They keep it, and they put it on display, I guess. Every once in a while, they'll have a little fair outlining the history of telephony, and then they'll take all this stuff out and put it on display. But it's weird. It's just kind of like haphazardly piled in this little storage room in a basement in a pretty much unmanned building, a big SBC building downtown. Really has no significant human presence other than general contractors that go in there, and everything else is dealt with remotely in the North Operating Center, and it's just, so there's rooms randomly filled with weird shit there, and that's one of the things I discovered today.
That's cool, and jittery.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what we get when you're using VoIP. VoIP is fun.
Yeah, VoIP.
Oh, I should make it more fun. I'll call you on my VoIP telephone.
Oh, boy.
While I'm trying to download porn. Oh.
I love how that echoed just that moment.
as he downloads porn.
Yes. Well, cool.
Porn. Yeah, so expect a tour of that when you come up.
So, we'll hopefully get pictures of that for all of our telephone geeks.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to sneak a camera in there. You're specifically not supposed
Definitely.
To do that, but I'm going to have to break the rules for that.
Yeah. I'm sure you're not supposed to be talking about it on Hacker TV, Hacker Radio shows, so.
I think it's fine. They won't know who I am.
Sure they won't, unless they have one of these content filtering devices on the edge.
It's totally fine. I'm only on an SBC telephone that I'm calling in, like an SBC service from, while I'm listening to you guys streamed on my SBC DSL connection. Not a problem.
We're owned. We just, like, I'm sure he's, like, going to get disconnected, like, right now. SBC SWAT teams are going to be coming in like, black helicopters.
Black helicopters, of course, with the SBC logo on it. This reminds me of that image that
made.
See, Lord knows what has happened. Who knows what has happened to the brave person there? Horrible.
Sorry,
anyway,
my phone rang.
It's very fortuitous that he's hung up, because it's just kind of about time to wrap up.
Well, cool. I think so, too.
Yes?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I think it's wrap-up time.
Everyone's just sort of dead quiet here.
This
is one of the least talkative episodes of BinRev Radio ever.
Yeah, we've dropped off to 24 listeners. We're losing them fast.
Shame on them. Well, we enjoy those 24 hardcore listeners. Plus,
yeah.
It's scary, you know. People are staying up past their bedtime. They've got to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Twinkies for everyone.
Yes. All right. We can go into announcements here. BinRev meeting, Southern California and Victorville, Hesperia, Apple Valley area. KLIS+meeting@gmail.com, and that's sort of been about a month, so we're going to have to take that off the announcements next week.
Yeah.
And also, Merck might be setting up a meeting in the 301-202 area code, D.C. and its suburbs. That would be Merck, M-E-R-K, at twatech.org.
And of course,
ask them more information, or you want to help, whatever.
And we can't forget Luminaire's meeting in, where do you say, Ontario or Toronto or something?
Yes, Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. If you're interested, send email to him at salvea@gmail.com. That's salvea@gmail.com.
Either way, first Friday of the month this week, so 2600 meetings. Boston 2600 will be meeting at the Prudential Food Court starting around 5:30 or so. I will be there in all my glory. And LA 2600 will be starting at
Union Station at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Moves to the Leaps at 1001 North Alameda at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And then we go to the Denny's on Ramirez Street at 10 p.m.
Pacific Standard Time. And also, another announcement, if you've forgotten, I know some of you out there probably live in a world where this doesn't make a difference, but change your wristwatch. We change from daylight to standard time on Sunday. And I wouldn't bother to announce this, but because of our snafu earlier with going on live, because somebody forgot to change the time from daylight to standard, you would do well to double-check your wristwatches and everything and make sure that if you were in a time zone that does daylight savings time, change it to standard time now.
I'll have to check my servers now, because now I'm not sure if they're all saying. I know my desktop and my computer at work updated fine, along with my laptop, but other than that, it's all just kind of normal. I'll check my other laptop. Nope, see, my other laptop is messed up. It thinks it's 11:53 right now.
Oh, dear.
I'll have to fix that. Shouts. Got shouts, Strom?
Yeah, let's see. Oddflux begged and pleaded for shouts, so shouts to Oddflux.
Pardon me. Fizone?
Yeah, I got a few. Sinshard. Send shouts out to Pseudonym, Pucky Hoberry, and a guy I met up at Freaknik, Low Tech Mystic. That'll do it for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Droops is currently on. He said he fell off.
I'm still here.
Oh, he's still here. Thank God. Droops.
Yeah, I got a shout out to y'all for letting us be on the show, even though we didn't really talk a lot. Shout out to Iron Geek, the newest member of the little Infonomicon buddy club. We haven't come up with a cool name for that yet. Shouts out to Patrio and Low Tech Mystic for helping out with some of the stuff that we're doing. And all the people that are helping out with SWAT, I appreciate all the help y'all give me.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Me, I'll send shouts out to Koresh. By the way, Koresh actually sent me in that it's Michael Lynn, who was the person at Black Hat that got pwned by Cisco and the FBI. And he also wants me to announce that Koresh's Asterisk service is up and running. He apparently just experienced the wonders of Asterisk, and he's very proud of it. I'll also send shouts out to G.I. Joe, who's just catching the end of BinRev Radio, just popped on and IM'd me. Apparently he has too much better stuff to do to going to college and everything. Shame on him. Site of the week is openpbx.org. Open Papa Bravo X-Ray. As in private branch exchange. It's a fork of the Asterisk code, and it looks interesting, but I'm not going to run it just yet. I'll wait and watch. They have to prove themselves first. Asterisk leaves me a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling, and I don't want to lose that.
Yeah, it looks interesting, but they've got some really bizarre ambitions for what they want to do with the code. So it's like, just figure out what you want to do first, then figure out what candy you want to add.
Yes. I think they're just kind of suffering from, we have this brand new project, what can we do with it? I think they're going to come out, and I hope they're going to actually do well. Email, radio@binrev.com, and our voicemail, you want to get the voicemail number out?
Yeah, voicemail numbers are actually the same as the call-in lines. You can call toll-free within the U.S. I'll repeat it again, even though I've said it a million times. Within the U.S., 800-732-0442, and outside the U.S., 213-415-1047.
What's our closing music tonight, Sarah Strom?
Our closing music is from Epitonic.com. It's a guy named Jeremy Robson, and this is the Tetris Piano Concerto in A minor.
That's Epitonic.com had that?
Yeah, Epitonic.com had the Tetris Piano Concerto in A minor. It sounds bizarre, but it is really, really cool.
Well, that'll be interesting to listen to. So I think I'm just going to wrap it up, and we'll just, as always, we'll see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Thank you.